I was sitting there all by myself, listening to everybody, everybody saying be like everybody else. Oh, you see, I gotta be me. And there ain't nobody just like this. I got to be me, or baby, hit or miss. And then I looked at you sitting there, you're all by yourself. You're listening to everybody, everybody saying be like everybody else. Oh, you see, you gotta believe. Baby, hit or miss.
Tom Jones with Hit or Miss, written and first sung by folk legend Odetta. This is from Jones's 2012 album, Spirit in the Room. It's a great album. You should try and get it. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrice Lead. And we're going to have an analytical time today, because we'll be talking from your perspective as to what you make of the current situation. The fever pitch push to impeach President Trump is a dead giveaway that the game plan is in motion. The irony is, Chaos Man himself has pulled the trigger. A series of actions simultaneously are being launched against him, essentially to shorten his stay in the White House, now at a mere 117 days. So what's the plan? I think the plan is destroy Trump, claim moral victory, divvy up the political spoils, and return to regular gangster politics. I think that's the plan. To destroy him first, though, he's got to be destroyed one way or the other, and then put in the other elements and return to good old-fashioned gangster politics. So the task today is to identify from your perspective elements of the plan, which is already in play, and offer your ideas about how you see that element, whichever element you choose to discuss, how it plays into the big plan. All right, we're going to have some fun with this, because there are so many different angles here as to what is going on, because so much is going on, and it's all going on at the same time. You can't keep up with this stuff. I kid you not. Every morning, the first thing I do is to check and see what else is happening and whether I should be concerned about it. Now, this may sound a little bit harsh, but I figured, in a way, it's really not so much my business. This is essentially white America fighting with itself. They may have different political points of view. They may have different objectives, but they agree that they ought to be in charge, They agree that they are very, very capable. They agree that they are the best people for whatever job they have in Washington. And the only thing that is in their way is, you know, people just giving them a hard time and not just laying down dead and getting it over with. But the fight is intense. We have the elite, we have the power elite, I should further identify. You have the conservatives, you have the Democrats and the Republicans. It's a big swill of activity going on there. They're all in the swamp. There's nobody emerging as a particularly desirable leader. And it is a fascinating thing that it was the white grassroots who put Trump in office. And you're hearing now that they're getting ready to fight. If it calls for that to be literal, they're ready to fight to defend him. They see Trump as a victim of this cacophony of political activity where everybody wants to win, but they can't win unless they destroy Trump. Call 888-874-4888. Let me hear what you are thinking about the scenario, the various scenarios that are going on. Pick one and follow through with the whole idea. What is the element that you think is to be watched in this broiling or roiling ocean of craziness? And how do you think it factors into this power play? What do you expect to happen? What would be the pros if that element that you identify prevails in its objectives, whatever those may be, and what we should be prepared for? Are you up to it? We'll know at 888-874-4888. No right or wrong here. This is just stretching your analytical skills a little bit to see what you're making of the situation that we're in. What piece of the puzzle do you think you have a handle on? In terms of what the impact would be for the country, if you care to go there, that would be great. But I'll poke you along. I'll ask you a question or two. But we have to learn to read the landscape. You may recall that just, you know, when the election was getting to the finish line, we were clear that Donald Trump is chaos. Look at the profound effect it has had in such a short time. Practically everything is in a state of chaos. And that's how chaos works. So he is excellent at chaos. That works really well for him. Frank from Philly, you're on the air. What element do you think is most discernible now, and how do you read the landscape now?
Well, I think that everything that you've said is accurate, especially since they have all these different factions fighting. I still believe that there's, you know, maybe several puppet masters above pulling all these various strings from all these different groups and et cetera in the media and so forth. I'll tell you straight away what I think is the worst nightmare scenario, and hopefully you can tell me what it's impossible, and I hope you can, that if he was impeached and the election results were contested, that they could somehow put Hillary in there. You know, that would mean to be the worst case scenario. Do you think that's possible?
No. I think it's not possible. The likelier scenario in the case is Pence. Pence being named president.
Oh, he's vice president, you mean? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, just like happened with Nixon and Ford, you mean, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just think, but you say that, in fact, that it can't be contested because she already conceded? Is that what you mean? Or just because it's a foregone conclusion that everything was fair and square?
No, I think it is because she has, I mean, she just lost. There's nothing she can do to reverse the loss except at the next signpost, which is the next election, she can run again if she wants to. But the constitutional provisions, it seems to me, will already be in place in the event that something should happen, whatever it is, including impeachment to Trump. Mike Pence will be the logical choice, the logical next president.
Okay, well, thank you, and I hope you're doing well.
Yes, thank you. But is that it? You're supposed to stretch out today, Frank. This is your day to stretch out and give us
Well, then I'll argue with you a little bit. Why couldn't the election be contested? The thing is, why is she part of the resistance? Why is she remaining so visible in this whole thing with Trump? If she isn't planning some future move.
I'm so glad you used that word, resistance. This is her marketing plan.
Well, that was her word, you know.
Yes, right. And we have to resist her use of the word resistance. She is the person that we are trying to resist. So she has
Agreed.
No claim to this idea that she's part of the resistance. Get out of here with that. She's not clean. This is the thing. Hillary Clinton is not clean at all to make any charges to launch an assault. She is easily brought down. People have already moved away from her. So a sufficient percentage of her political base is already eroded. They found her to be a fraud.
Are you talking about the people who supported and voted for her? You mean those people?
Yeah, people who supported her.
As opposed to the people who funded her, who gave her hundreds of millions of dollars for her campaign.
They, too, have distanced themselves because Hillary Clinton is central to a big problem. It's called the Clinton Foundation. That is not going away. And
but it doesn't
even
seem
if,
to be
it,
taking it, up the mainstream news, though. It hasn't. It doesn't. Does it really pay? I don't watch a lot of mainstream news, but it doesn't seem to me that I've heard anything about it being questioned very much.
That's true. That's because they have a very cozy relationship with the media outlets, but that is not going to hold on for too much longer. Why? Because the Clinton Foundation is being investigated all over the world now. They can't, it's a global series of investigations. They're hemmed in. They're trying their very best to break through, but it's not happening and not nearly fast enough to save their political careers. So that's why they moving as fast as possible to switch over to something. And that something, as we saw, is this Onward Together Political Action Committee she has launched. They have to have some source of constant revenue because they're in big trouble financially. They're not saying that out loud, but there are people who know that. And by the time Ireland kicks in with its investigation, and you have, oh my gosh, how many? You have Australia, you have the Netherlands, you have Sweden, you have France. All these countries have ongoing investigations into the Clinton Foundation. And it's going to erupt massively. So even if she prevails at home in the United States, that would be short-lived because investigations will show, not just the Clintons. They have people deeply entrenched and hidden in what is now the Trump administration. Obama has his people hidden in the Trump administration.
But they're always talking about Trump's business practices, shady dealings and stuff like that. That figure's pretty big in the discussion as far as mainstream media goes.
Yes, it would.
I'm sorry.
So that's what I'm saying. It's six of one, half a dozen of the other. You don't get into this level of politics and prevail for so long as the Clintons have and as Obama has without having several layers of muck that you're standing on. Thanks, Frank, for getting us started today. I really appreciate your call. Let's talk to Leona from Michigan.
Hello. Greetings, Patrice, and greetings to your audience.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome. Listen, some thoughts floated through my head the time before the last time you had Charles Hotell on, and he was talking about how these people behave in that Clinton Foundation, or at least that's how my mind processed what he said. And I was reminded of these psychological disorders that I read about back in the day. In fact, I pulled a book back off the shelf. This thing called The Betrayal Bond, Breaking Free of Exploitive Relationships. It was written by a guy named Patrick Carnes back in the day. But this idea of trauma bonds, I'll be brief. First of all, let me say, Donald Trump, in my opinion, is not the only one in that office with a mental disorder. He has a supporting cast and crew, people who are suffering from the same illness he is, or maybe to greater or lesser degrees. But there's this phenomenon called organizational incest. I can't expound upon it a whole lot because I'm no expert on it, but organizational incest is no different from incest in the family, which in reality is no different from sexual misconduct by clergy or health professionals, which is no different from the abuse of physical power and date rape or domestic abuse. They all take advantage of the vulnerable, and they all can result in the dysfunctional attachments we call trauma bonds. I just quoted that from Dr. Carnes' book. But evidence of trauma bonds is things like when you continue to be a team member, when obviously things are becoming destructive. When you continue attempts to get people who are clearly using you to like you, or it's a whole slew of symptoms. But it's, you know, listening to him, and it made me think of that work done by Carnes a while ago about the psychological dysfunction that keeps people acting the way they do on an individual, on an organizational basis, et cetera. Another thing I want to add.
I think there's a lot of validity to that, and you see that in what we talk about as organizational issues, where an organization, just like a person, has a character, has a way of behaving, and largely they take cues from the leader.
Yes, ma'am.
It's the same thing. It is mm-hmm. a function of organizational structures that you have an identity. The identity is shaped. There's a lot of work going on, major organizations, to force or to encourage a sameness of thought, a
yes.
sameness of behavior.
Yes.
And the greatest example that we've had so far, and I think it is the father of this whole thing, is IBM. You mm-hmm. dress alike. You can spot an IBM man anywhere. He had a black suit, white shirt, black tie. So
yes,
it is part of creating an identity. In mm-hmm. the Trump administration, as we see so far, the identity is in the culture and the behavior mm-hmm. and the the harshness with which people are treated. They treat each other this way. They cut each other's throats. In Trump's businesses, I understand that it is the culture, very much the culture. You cut each other's throats to get to the top. We just saw it at Fox News. You cut people as deeply as you have to eviscerate them so that you eliminate them from competition.
Ooh, yes, ma'am.
Right? It could work to the other degree where organizational culture encourages different kinds of behaviors. You could think of Buddhist monks living together in harmony, the culture stressing harmony, cooperation, that kind of thing. They have an entirely different outlook, and you can sense it immediately.
Yes,
the
ma'am.
Culture that you identify today, though, is the culture that Trump is in. It's so openly expressed. But we have the same culture in Congress and in the Democratic Party and in the Republican Party. Right now, one wing of the Republican Party is fighting tooth and nail against the other wing. The Democrats are fighting off any attempt by Bernie Sanders to grow his so-called movement. So it's a great point. You raise a great point. So
yes,
in the scheme of things, do you think there's a game plan here? Do you agree or disagree that there's a game plan and that it involves a number of things by a number of factions? But the main thing is to get Trump out by any means necessary as soon as possible, and then to divvy up the spoils and go back to good old gangster politics.
You know what? I don't know, to be honest with you. But given a culture with a value system like that, I guess anything goes. Anything's possible. There was another point I'd like to add, if you don't mind.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I just learned about this yesterday. There's this thing, there's a science called neuroparasitology. It's a study that studies parasites. And I learned about it from Dr. B. Cyrus, listening to him on a different radio show the other day. He's a master herbalist and some other things. However, there's this thing, there's this parasite that turns its host into mindless zombies.
Yes.
And that very well could be at play as well. And there's a serious science called neuroparasitology. It says it's a new branch of science that deals with parasites that can control the neurological system of the host. These germs or bugs and, you know, they get into our systems through the foods we eat, the air we breathe, the chemicals we're around, sometimes even pets. They wreak havoc. I'm just learning about this. I'm not able to talk about it, you know, much more, except to tell you I'm learning about it, and I'm thinking it's a possible factor as well, affecting all of us, perhaps. Yes,
something
ma'am.
To keep in mind. You
yes,
know,
ma'am.
Germ warfare takes all kinds of forms. But
ah.
thank you so much, Leona, for calling us, calling attention to these ideas and for contributing today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Clay from Elizabeth, you're on the air.
Hello, you three. I called the other day, and I agree with you. And actually, I was explaining this, how you started to someone this morning. Hopefully, this will end in one destroying the other, and with the survivor being left damaged. That's how hopefully it will end. But ultimately, they all have a game plan. And they're proceeding with it. However, they are at war with each other, you know. And like I said, hopefully one will destroy the other, and the other one will be left hobbled. That's how I'm hoping it ends. But I believe that that's the way it's going to go.
How do you see that playing out now? Who is fighting whom, in your view? How do you see it?
They're fighting each other. You know, ultimately they're all lying, and hopefully what I would love to see is that girl Hillary go down. She needs to go down in flames, you know, because she's a living lie. This woman is a living lie. She's a walking, talking lie. And she needs to be, the mythology of Hillary and the Clintons needs to be brought down because they have caused a lot of harm.
How will they, if they're fighting against each other, in your view, how do they go about divvying up the spoils? How would that be done?
Well, let's put it, they're going to keep people like you and I out. They're going to divvy them up. They're going to divvy them up, however it may happen, and they're only going to throw scraps to the step and fetch it people that exist. You know, and unfortunately, I mean, those university presidents are examples of the step and fetch it syndrome, okay, that we have in this society. You know, people that have forgotten from where they come from, the people that sacrifice for them, you know. And unfortunately, the sad part about all this is that people like you and I have to continuously fight because of this step and fetch it syndrome, you know.
This moral victory after they've succeeded in fighting each other. What moral victory is there to claim?
There won't be a moral victory. It will be an illusion. There won't be a moral victory because I believe that the surviving party will be left damaged. And I believe these will be the preliminaries for a social conflagration in this country. After they start a war of the wrong person, get their butts kicked, you know, because it's very difficult with logistics to fight a war in somebody else's homeland, which is what they're looking to do, you know. And that's how it will end. And ultimately, it will end up in hopefully the saintly ones among us prevailing. But the saintly ones among us have to educate ourselves, prepare ourselves to survive.
Well, you know, I favor that. If I could ask you, from your perspective, no right or wrong, is just what you're thinking, what would be the steps that we should be prepared to notice that they're taking? What are the steps going to be, you think, in this game plan? Say,
well,
one, first
plan,
they'll do this, then they'll do that, then they'll do that.
Yeah,
what is your version
right
of that?
Right now we have a severe police presence in all communities. This is a police state. You know, my advice to anyone would be to fly under the radar, you know, educate yourself, stay healthy, and ultimately do what you have to do and basically unite with other people of the same mindset and beware of those that have a different mindset from your own that will divide you or lead you astray.
You know? Well, very good advice, Clay. Thank you so much for contributing today. Enjoyed talking to you. From Georgia, Gerald, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, yeah. How are you? I called in the other day with a depressing assessment of, I thought about after I hung up, of the situation, how you was talking about organizing so many words to offset what the ruling people are trying to do. And I was saying that pretty much anything we tried to do, they would counter it, and we wouldn't get very far, people like me. And,
Gerald, what I want to ask you to concentrate on today is mm-hmm. the topic of the game plan. Do you think there's a game plan going on right now?
They think it is. That's what I believe. But I think they're doing it mostly ad hoc because I think their castle is falling apart, or whatever you want to call it. It's like they got to keep patching it up as they go along.
Yeah, but
and I think
what is the plan? Even if it is ad hoc,
mm-hmm.
Is the ultimate plan here? Do you agree that the ultimate plan seems to be to first dispatch Donald Trump and then continue the argument among themselves. But in what ways are they achieving the first stage of this plan, which is getting rid of Donald Trump?
I don't know. They just keep muddying the waters, keep throwing up all kinds of crazy stuff that just to keep things stirred up. Ultimately, at some point, they want to get rid of Donald Trump. Yeah, but at some point, somebody's going to intensify a war to distract the rest of us. That's what I think is a bad possibility, because that's what they usually do. From what I've learned in the past few decades, this is what they usually do. There's a war, another war, another war. Get rid of Donald Trump so that, as you can say, is divvy up the spoils among themselves. But meanwhile, I think the best thing people like me can do is to try to, stay out of their way and get organized with a group of people to counter them as best we can, but stay out of their way while they crash.
So could you identify, or could you get a little closer to who the they are, in your view?
Yeah, that's a question I ask myself. Who are they? I mean, everybody says they. Everybody says
they. Who are the they?
Yeah. Who are they? And Hillary Clinton is just somebody in there. She's not a very nice person. I've learned to understand, because I thought the Clintons were the greatest singers until I heard Bernie Sanders. And then after looking into their record, I realized how duped I was. And so, same thing with Obama. I thought he was, he was really a good guy and all that. Yeah, right. Okay. But anyway, they are just there. They're getting paid to do stuff. Get rid of Hillary Clinton, there's still somebody else to take her place and probably already in line. We may not know who they are,
But as they shape up in formation before our eyes, do you have a names for the team or the individuals that will comprise they who are in this game plan altogether? Do you have any identities for any of them?
Mm-mm. No, I can't. I can't think. Everything's about Donald Trump, the Russians, Hillary trying to get back into play. I don't know who the new faces for the oppression is going to be, but I know that they haven't gone anywhere, and they've always been there. And, there's always going to be someone there. I have no idea who they could be, who that person or people could be.
Well, you're doing well in identifying at least the group that they might belong to, so we could watch out for the group, if not for the individual.
Yeah, I guess. See what happens. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Gerald, for calling in today. 888-874-4888. We know something is happening. We have an inkling what it is. We also have hints of who some of the key players are shaping up to be. And we have an idea of what it is they want to do. So what do we do with this information? What happens? Do we just stay there and stare at it? Or are we looking for a further move, another solid move to be made? And that's how we will know how the game plan is going. Or are we in a position now, with the information that we have, to come to some theory or idea of what's in play? We'll tackle that question next, right after this break, and see what you're thinking. The idea is that so far, everybody who has contributed, they may not have an exact, there's not an exact name or an exact play that has been, but they're clear that something is in formation. But let me take Ali's call before we go to the break. Ali, you're on the air.
Hi, you Trees. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I just wanted to say a few things about what's going on right now. Do you remember when Trump came out and on that video where he said that he could just go and grab woman pussy and nothing happened to him? And
yes.
Then do you remember also when he said, I could go on Fifth Avenue, I could kill somebody, and the people that they like me, they're still going to vote for me?
Yes.
If you put all those things together and then you take Senator McCain, which is on one side of the aisle, which he had never liked him, and Lindsey Graham, those people, they just waiting for him. But going back to what I said at the beginning, something's going to happen if they try to get Donald Trump out. Because I think white supremacy, and he said it, I could go out and grab woman, whatever. I could go out and kill somebody. And these people, they will still like me. And a lot of women came out in support of Donald Trump, not only voting, but in support of Donald Trump when that video came out that they were getting women. He was, you know, talking about grabbing, you know, why.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying to you is, if you take a look at this white supremacy, these people that support him, they're not going to take it that they're just sitting down taking it, that they're going to take this man down. And he knows it. He knows that because he actually said, I could do anything. So he has a big support group out there. And another thing is, I'm looking at Paul Ryan. If you notice, Paul Ryan is sitting pretty. He sits behind, and he letting this stupid Democrat talking about the Russian. And when he says something, when he sees something positive that he is working out for him, then he will say something. But there is these three groups. Is the white supremacy, that they're ready with their weapons if they take this man out. Then you have the Paul Ryan of the world and his little group waiting. And then you have the McCain and Lindsey Graham, who they hate the man. But I will have to say this. If they take him out, I hope that he takes Jeff Sessions with him. Because for us, of people of color, I'm not afraid of Trump. I'm afraid of this man, Jeff Sessions. This man goes out there, and he's going to set up this law, voting oppression. Now he has worked with the New York City Police Department. He came out here to talk to the police department. And you go on and on and on. And that is the man that I'm afraid of. More than Pence, more than Trump. So we should be ready about what is going to happen.
Interesting. And if you can, what happens while they are formulating their plan? What is the counter to that? Do you see it?
Well, the counter to that is that all these groups, they're getting ready because they think they're going to bring him down. And one of the things is when this guy comic goes out there, supposedly he has some weapons to take him down. That's why all these stupid Democrats think that they're going to take him down. Instead, and these people, they don't care not only about us, people of color. These people, they don't even care about the white. Because if they will care about them too, they would be doing something about health care and all the things that is affecting all of us.
Okay.
So,
thank you so much for contributing so meaningfully, as always, today. Thank you, Ali, for your call. We'll take this break and come back and continue the conversation about the big game plan. What is it? And how do we know it's happening? Right after this.
myself. I was listening to everybody. Everybody saying be like everybody else. Oh, you see. I gotta be me. And there ain't nobody just like this. I got to be me. Oh, baby, hit or miss. No.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, and we're talking about the game plan. There obviously is a game plan in play, and we are seeing, as the days go by, we're seeing people getting into formation. And the number one action plan is to take Trump down, take him out, and destroy him completely, then claim this great moral victory, because now they have to build after they presumably take him out. They'll divvy up the political spoils, and then the country returns to regular gangster politics. How do you see it? That's the question today. And in looking at this plan play out, and maybe you have other dimensions, other elements that you are noticing, we're talking about this as a way of identifying what we collectively are going to be facing. So therefore, the thinking ought to be, how do we prepare ourselves for what appears to be the inevitable, at least at this point? David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello, you, Therese.
Hello.
Nice to hear you again today.
Thank you so much.
I've thought about your question, and what comes to my mind is this. The establishment, the ruling class, the main body, is dissatisfied with Trump because he's a little unorthodox. However, as I see it, the mission of that ruling class, the oligarchs at the top and the corporations and the people that really run the United States, their mission hasn't changed. And essentially, they would like to get the situation to the point here in this country where the people here were at the same stage as Bangladesh. The goal is to infinity get as much wealth as possible. Now, Trump is not against that, but his style is a little too much for the orthodox Republicans and Democrats and so forth. So they might make a little change, but as I said before, the mission doesn't change. The mission is to bring wealth to infinity and control the people, not only of this country, but the world. So you would say keep people in check and build wealth for the ruling class that runs everything. So as I see it, the important part is that Trump is down with that. But his style is brings a lot of attention, and they don't like that. And they want to do the things that are necessary to play the masses of the people. Now, some of us have been talking about white supremacy, racism. But we have to understand that white supremacy, racism is just a tactic. That's it, a tactic that's used especially well in this country. And with the so-called races, the phenotypes of people and the ethnicity, they play people here like a Stradivarius violin. And that's what I see. People are just played against each other. And you even got people who are dominated by the ruling class admiring the oligarchs and people who rule over them. I mean, they are so good at this public relations and propaganda and all that's involved in maintaining and playing this system. It's like a conductor of the great symphony or orchestra. You know, I mean, they do it so well. So most of the people in this country don't understand that because they don't understand what we've talked about many times, and that's they don't understand the system. And this system
is the first element of the game plan, the destruction of Donald Trump. Is it gaining ground in your view? And if so, how?
Well, you know, they've come up with all these things to, let's say, put demerits on Donald Trump. But I, as I see it, these are all kind of side things because that doesn't change their mission. They get people's attention away from the things that are really important and put that attention on Donald Trump. That's the way I see it, even though they maintain the goal of doing the things they can do to increase their wealth at the expense of all the people in the country. And as long as you can have this little sideshow and get people's attention on that, you can continue to do all the destructive things that the ruling class in this place wants to do to enrich itself. So I see Donald Trump as a little distraction to get your attention away from what the mission and goals are of those who rule. And people have to understand that. And people, why don't people understand what's going on? Because the propaganda machine is so effective, controlling all the media, controlling the schools, controlling all the information people are getting, and most people can't do like PRN listeners and analyze this stuff and make some good decisions about which way they should go in terms of countering this domination by those who rule at the top.
Well, thank you, sir. This is some pretty interesting instruction that we're getting here today. Thank you, David, for calling in. New York, Patricia, you're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon, Eutrice. You sound absolutely wonderful.
Oh, and fooled you.
And good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you so much.
The answer, in my analysis, the answer to your question is that the removal of Donald Trump is the number one agenda right at this moment. The Republicans never wanted Donald Trump to begin with. The fact that he became the nominee and then the president was an absolute fluke. But they figured he's an idiot, we can control him. Unfortunately, Donald Trump has gone off script. And when you go off script, your next move is destruction. And we're in that phase now. Donald didn't get the memo. And the memo was when, you know, the intelligence community, when they released all of that information on Flynn, they were trying to send Donald a message. We've got the goods on everybody. We can let you stay, or we'll make sure you go. And he did not get that memo. And he, you know, this focus that he has had on enriching himself, he doesn't understand. It's not just you. You got to make sure that everybody gets a piece of the action. And he's not doing that. So now, what happens after he goes? That's the next phase. What happens after Donald goes? Because Donald's going. Much to my chagrin, because I would prefer that Donald stays. He's such an idiot. It's easier to have an idiot in place than to have all of those people who are encircling him in place, because they've got an agenda. They know what they're doing, even if Donald doesn't, in terms of the larger scheme of we're all going to get rich, not just one person.
Hmm. How far along with the first element, the one that you just discussed about destroying Donald Trump, how far along you think this phase is?
We're in the beginning phase. They're ratcheting it up little by little. Every day another piece of information comes out. They've got the goods. They're releasing it little by little by little. It's like you're building the story to crescendo. And when all the information is out, then they slap you in the face. Mm. More is coming.
More is coming.
More
in the
is
meantime,
coming.
How do we cope as this game plan is played out?
We are on our own. And everybody's going to have to figure out a survival plan.
All right, now. Amen. Amen and amen. And that's exactly what I've been saying. Get it together. Because it's going to happen. Even if the first phase is not a success, it eventually will happen. And the whole mass of the people will be embroiled in watching this thing unfold. And in the meantime, you have no power. In the meantime, you have no representation. In the meantime, even if they had some way of affecting things, they're not nearly powerful enough to see it happen all the way through. I'm talking about the Democrats and the Sanders, and they don't have the power to do it. They abandoned their objectives a long time ago for the short-sighted reward of saying, well, I ran and I got X number of votes. The idea is to win. And that's my criticism of third-party politics. They all act like they don't want to win anything. So consequently, at a time like this, which is perfect for them to insert themselves into an increasingly disaffected community of people who are looking for someplace to park their votes, then they're completely absent from the fray.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because my next statement was going to be, if people are looking to the Democrats to save them, they better look elsewhere. During this last mid recess that they had, I attended two town halls, one in my district and then one in the district of the person, I think I mentioned this once before, who took Rangel's seat. And neither one of them was the message that we're fighting and we're going to war and we're going to organize. None of that. They sounded impotent. They sounded defeated. So if anybody's looking to the Democrats to effect a solution, you better look elsewhere, because they don't have one.
Thank you, Patricia, for your call today. Very, very enlightening. I appreciate it. And thank you all for calling in. The idea is to encourage people to think things through. When you have a quiet moment, you put these pieces of information together, and then you reevaluate where you are. Would the information shared with you today help you move a little further down the line in terms of your own resolutions about securing yourself, putting together your own system, making sure that you understand better and better what you need to do and what you need to focus on? This is the whole point of these discussions. You are conscious in your decisions, however, as opposed to operating on autopilot. Whatever they tell you to do, you do. You begin to discern what is in your interest, and you start moving toward building your own system of defense. based on now what you know. See, that's how we increase our political power. We start from that perspective of educating ourselves and then moving in a direction that will be of benefit to us both individually and collectively. So thank you so much. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories, at gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. And get ready for tomorrow, Free Your Mind Friday. See you then. Bye-bye.
Yourself.